Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very excited to talk to our next guests. Tom, I know you have a lot of auto racing questions.
Yeah, right.
For Angelique Shingelis.
Who gives a rip about
the angel of Watkins Glen. Hello, Angelique.
Hi there. How are you two?
Wonderful. Watkins Glen, wasn't there a hippie kind of rock concert there one time?
I believe that was Woodstock.
Thank you.
Come on. That's where Woodstock was.
You know who's in the, I got to tell you, who's in the press room right now is Jim Boeheim. He's the Grand Marshal of the Nationwide race. So he's in here talking basketball, believe it or not.
Wow. How about that?
Well, you tell him that you cover
Michigan basketball, I bet he's impressed.
Yeah, I know. I was actually not going to mention that to him. But Tom Izzo is going to be the Grand Marshal at the NASCAR race in Michigan next Sunday.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So there's your NASCAR.
Tom is hoping for a blown tire in turn one. All right.
Well, okay.
Let's get on to what Tom has been salivating, as he always does when he knows that you're coming on the show, Angelique.
Yes.
But the idea of Rich Rodriguez now facing possible sanctions at two schools and what's coming up next week in Seattle means what?
Well, it means technically, I mean, this is according to Michael Buckner, who's an attorney that we at the Detroit News have been talking to a lot for his expertise on all these NCAA matters. It shouldn't mean anything on Saturday when Michigan goes before the Committee on Infractions check. But like he said, like Michael Buckner said, this will be the silent person in the room. The committee members will be aware of the latest allegations against West Virginia and how they involve Rich Rodriguez, but theoretically they can't use this as a measure what Michigan has done and how they're asking questions. And certainly it's not going to be part of the Michigan strategy to bring this up on Saturday. They don't want to mention this at all. And, I think if they hold to that, then, I think that's the way it has to do. It has to happen. They can't involve the West Virginia case in this Michigan hearing on Saturday. And if that's the case, then I'm sure based on what Rich has said, they've strategized with the attorneys, they're prepared for these questions. I don't think it will have an effect on it, but you never know. I mean, people are human. They hear all this stuff, just like a jury does when a judge tells them to strike something from the record. You hear this, you're aware of it.
Right.
Angelique, when I see these David Brandon quotes, and he's continually backing Rich Rodriguez, and first I go, oh, God, what's he thinking? But, I'm thinking more about this. He's got to say that as long as he's the coach.
Right.
Am I right in that analogy? I mean,
absolutely.
And then if things go south, if the Huskies come to the Big House on September 4th, they pull the big W, then we know Rich Rod is toast, and we might as well start cheering for Michigan to lose to get a new coach to bring Jim Harbaugh in there, and then the ship gets right in and life is good.
You're talking about cheering against your team if they lose the opener.
Unbelievable, and I don't know why you're having me on if you've got it all figured out.
I'm not saying I'm going to hope for that, but I'm just going to say that if he loses to UConn and the Spartans come to town and lay one on the Wolverines, it's over with, and just start getting that committee together, that search committee together, and we can move on.
Well, look, I mean, I think you're right. You spoke initially about Dave Brandon and his support for Rich, which has been very vocal. I think he has to. I mean, he's made clear they're not going to make a coaching change right now, so it would really be working against the Michigan program as a whole, and you would hope your athletic director is looking out for the program as a whole, to sit there and bash your head coach and not give him any support going into the season. So, I mean, it's not just about Rich Rodriguez. It's about the Michigan football program, as you know. And, they got to protect recruiting. They've got to protect the future coach. If there is going to be a coaching change, they got to know that they're coming into an atmosphere where they know they're going to be supported and they're going to get a second and third chance to prove themselves like Rich Rodriguez has had. And I think that's what Dave Brandon's doing. I don't think there's anything sinister going on, Tom, and I don't think you should be rooting against your team.
If they lose that first game. Let me tell you, though, when I got my season tickets last week, and the the pretty penny I paid for them. And you know, they
look good.
They got this embossment. You know, they're all the all the shiny stuff and the thick stock ticket. And it's worthy of at least a nine win team. You know, that's why
don't cash the tickets. Just hold on to them.
Yeah, keep them virgin tickets is what you're saying without even being wanded, if you will. But I mean,
You're just exceptionally bitter this morning.
Well, I've been bitter for the last 2 years.
Angelique, I have to tell you this. I don't know if you know the impact you have on Tom Crawford.
No, I don't
and
know.
When
don't
you
know.
Said that you thought they would win 5 games, for 3 weeks he was lower than a whale dung.
That was last year, right?
I take it verbatim, you know, and you predicted it, right? So what are you predicting this year? We're going to get a bunch of versions of this as we go through the season when we have you on the Jack and Tom Show, which is your favorite show. You've told us that a number of times.
I love this show.
Okay. So
I do. Only because of Jack, Tom, really.
Ouch. But anyway,
buddy.
As we sit here on August 7th, where's the meter stand on predicted number of W's for the Wolverines in 2010?
Well, I mean, I really haven't. I've thought about it a lot. I really have over the last, couple months, actually. I mean, you can't help yourself but look ahead and look at this team on paper, and I just think that there are still so many question marks. I mean, I think offensive line looks pretty good, and is it going to be Denard? Is it going to be Tate? Who's going to run the ball for them? I mean, who's their outside receiver threat? What's this defense going to do? I think that there's a lot of question marks. And right now, I'd say 5 wins, and I'm not capping it there. I just say right now, looking at it, I think that's a tough opening 2 games to open the schedule. I mean, UConn's going to be very tough. They have an experienced quarterback. They do have, like Michigan, issues in the secondary, but I think they've got a lot of experience at key positions. And, I'm not saying I think Notre Dame is all that great, but I think it's going to be tough.
Right.
Has been preparing this team for this game and his first signature win, and against a big name team. And I just think those first 2 games are going to be tough. But right now, I'm saying 5 wins again, Tom. I hope that's okay.
Angelique
Shingelis. Are you talking? Are you breathing?
I'm hanging in there.
We're performing CPR right now on Tom Crawford.
But you know what? I when I watch Rich Rodriguez and my 94-year-old mom, who's a Michigan grad, thinks he's a nice guy. He's like, I want him to succeed.
Yeah.
He's hard not to like when you see
Muddy
him.
Muddy Waters was the nicest guy
I
you'd
know,
ever meet. He
but
was
I
10 and 20.
No, he's
not
a
like
nice guy.
I want it to work. But if it doesn't, if you're predicting, 5 wins, it's not. He's gone. He is definitely gone.
And I think you look at the schedule and, if you eliminate turnovers that they had last year, maybe a couple of those games go their way, of course. But, the Indiana game was a tough. I mean, they scraped through and got that one. And
Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame, and I think that it's just a similar kind of feel for me this season. And but as to Rich, I mean, I think Rich is a great guy, and I think that he's a very good coach. It's just that things have not been gelling quickly enough here, and I just think it's gonna be tough for. I'm not ruling out 6 wins in a bowl game, Tom. I just think that right now 5 wins seems
six
more
wins
plausible.
In a bowl game.
Hey, you have something to aspire to, Tom. That would be a quantum leap based
on
the last 2 years.
Game to me is that Michigan State game to me is the biggest game.
Yeah,
really
October 9th. And what happens in that game, Angelique? What happens in that game? If you had a gun to your head, you got to make a prediction
is
right now.
Psychic?
Yeah, tell him no because I weigh her opinion real heavily.
I don't know. I mean, I've waffled on that one quite a bit because I thought Michigan State was going to be better than it was last year, too. So I overestimated them last year. I still think they're going to be pretty good this year. Again, experience at quarterback, and I think it's all going to hinge on how Greg Robinson's Michigan defense comes together. And, they seem to be very confident, and obviously they should be going into the season. And I do think Michigan has a lot of talent on the defensive side. It's just I don't think they have a lot of experience. And how do you replace Brandon Graham and all those question marks? So, it's going to be a close game. That's all. I just don't know. I mean, I know it's the most important game for them. I just don't know how that one's going to go at that point in the season. Because you can also perhaps weigh in that the NCAA may come down with their final decision that week. That would be timing-wise, that would be about right. And does this become another distraction for the team?
Oh, God.
I don't know. There'd be a lot of factors that week.
I'll tell you what, those 1,000 days are going to be going and going and going.
It's 1,007 now, Tom, and counting. The meter's running.
That's the last shot. Otherwise, we've got to wait till 2012.
He's already conceded the 2011 game, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Angelique, you talk about the quarterback situation, and we saw what happened. Troy Wolfolk taking a couple of shots this week at, his quarterback, returning quarterback. That doesn't sound good.
About the Tater?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. And I would think as a head coach or a coach on that staff that you don't want your players talking about their teammates like that publicly. And it was in the Michigan Daily. I was not at Troy's table when he said that. And, but then maybe he's out there as a leader of this team trying to fire up this kid. And of course, certainly Rodriguez alluded during the spring to Tate not being completely focused all the time. And they've been working on that. And he was talking a lot about off the field things like academics and keeping this kid's focus. And what we saw from Denard Robinson is a lot of focus and a lot of improvement in the spring. And he's certainly shown his teammates that he's willing to be there in the summer and for all these voluntary workouts. But, I take Rich at his word that this is an open competition, Jack and Tom. And I think it's going to be pretty heated. I don't know that you go ahead and start another quarterback for the first time, mm-hmm. 3 years in a row at Michigan. But if Denard has improved that much, then I don't know how you can't do that. But
go with the best quarterback. You just got to go with your best player.
You do. But I got to believe that Tate's that experience last year has got to give him a little bit of an edge. But all indications are that Denard has passed him, and I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see him taking the first snap on September 4th.
Well, if Denard has passed him, and we know that Devin Gardner is high mm-hmm. in their plans, I hope that Tate Forcier is renting, because it doesn't look like his future is very
bright. He's got UC San Diego written all over him right now.
Yeah. I mean, and we've seen that. It's not unusual for a Forcier to transfer, but I think it's too early for Devin Gardner. I don't think physically he's ready. I mean, I think he's going to be a terrific quarterback. I really do.
Yeah.
But I just don't know that you want to use him. I think in a perfect world, you redshirt him. But like Tom said, you got to put your best guys out there. And if it's Devin Gardner coming out of the fall, then Devin Gardner it is. But I think you've got to go with the two guys who have been there. And I can't see Tate, I just don't see Tate going away this year. And it's really going to be what Rich has harped on, the maturity level of Tate Forcier and whether he can handle this kind of competition from Denard, and how he does mentally with this, really, as much as physically.
Angelique Chingelis, Detroit News, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. And Angelique, did you see were you there during the Joe Pye interview on the Big, at the Big Ten Media Day?
I did. I was there.
Okay. I was just baffled. I mean, he looks like he's really, I know he had that surgery, but wow, he looks like he has aged.
We know his problems are lower than the intestines. We found that out.
But I mean, what kind of role is he playing, do you think, in that program, and how long is this going to last?
Well, he was asked that. He was asked that, Tom. And, I don't think, he doesn't want anyone to think he's a figurehead, but I think we've got to believe that. And I think that in the last few years, he's given a lot more responsibilities to his assistant coaches, but he is still the guy. I mean, he said he hopes he's on the sideline this fall, and that's the intention, but he didn't say for sure he would be on the sideline. But, he can be very spry, though. I mean, he was, based on the jokes he cracked at the Big Ten luncheon, he's still very funny and very, I think he's still very sharp. He did not look his best, that's for sure, but he's in his 80s and he's had a couple surgeries, but he's not planning on going anywhere, and I don't see Penn State trying to force his hand. Absolutely no way will they do that.
Well, he would be 84 if he coaches Penn State in a bowl game. His birthday is December
24th. Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
I hope we are doing this show. I am on a Saturday.
Don't count on that, honey.
We're all 84. That would be great.
Crawford's saying, just give me two more weeks. Angelique, before we let you go, one quick question. It's one that Tom has really been a little afraid to ask you, but I'm going to broach a subject. Who wins at Watkins Glen?
I knew you were going to ask that. All right. I'm going to give you a little inside information. Marcus Ambrose. That'll be your guy to look for tomorrow.
Marcus Ambrose, wide receiver.
Tom's checking his recruiting list. He thought he was a guard in 2012.
He's a 5'8", 140-pound, two-star athlete out of Australia.
All right, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
It is really pretty here. I mean, Ernie Davis billboards around. There's a lot of tributes to him around this area. So it's just kind of cool. And Jim Boeheim's here. So
can't beat that.
Yeah,
big Syracuse contingent. All right, Angelique, thanks so much. We'll talk with you soon.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. We'll be right back with our final segment, Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.